Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the middle of a discussion about Sidur Lebal Chov, about selling off a debtor's property in order to pay the Chov, beginning with the Mashkon, of course, and we're on Bab Metziah Daf Kuf Yod Dalet Amud Aleph. Ibai Elohu. The question was asked, Mao Shi Sadru Lebal Chov. So the question was asked, do we really do a Sidur Lebal Chov? Mi Gamar Micha Micha Miarachin Olo. Do we learn the same word mach, if he is poor, which is in the context of al-chov, meaning when your fellow is poor, you have to help him out, and that's the loan. And then, in arachin, it says, v'machu mi'arkecha, if he is too poor to pay the erech, then what we do we make that connection or not? Toshma, d'shalach ravin bi'igarte. Ravin sent a letter, and in the letter he wrote, davar zeh sha'alti l'chol rabotai v'lo amru li davar. I asked this of all my teachers, and they didn't tell me. I mean, they couldn't tell me. Ram kachay ta shela, but I'll tell you what the question was. Homer hare alai mane leverek habayit maushi sadru. What if a guy donates something to Berek Habayit? I mean, he makes a donation to Beit Hamikdash, and then he can't pay it. Do we do sidur? In other words, it's not an erech where you say erki alai, the parshin vayikra chav zayin, but rather you just make a donation to Berek Habayit. Biakom Mishmei Devar Pada, for Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishmei the Ilfa, so these are early Amorei Eretz Yisrael, say, Amri Kal Vachom Balchov. So they learned that you do pay the Berek Habayit as a Kal Vachom Balchov. Uma Balchov Shemachzirin. Think about this. A Balchov has to return the Mashkon, every night, as we saw. And nonetheless, Ein Masadrin. We don't do Sidur. So Hekdesh Ein Machzirin, and Odin Shein Masadrin Hekdesh, which if you pay them, they don't get back to you. Certainly there's no Sidur. Alright, so we start with the assumption that Balchov Ein Masadrin. And that became the way of getting to the answer to the question. Now, Rabbi Yochanan said as follows, Neder Be'erkech HaKtiv. In the context of Arachim, we have the word Neder. So Ma Arachim Masadrin, Av Hekdesh Masadrin. So he disagreed with the ruling from the Balchov, and using the Balchov as the lesson, and said, just like Arachin, we make the Sidur, so any vow that you make of a donation, any pledge you make of a donation, to Hekdesh, we do Sidur. But notice, everybody seems to agree, Balchov, we don't do Sidur. V'idach, what was the response of Ilfa and Barpada's presentation? Hahul nidon b'chvodohu da'ata. That they agreed with the association of calling an erech a neder, of that means that there are some of the laws of Arachin connected with neder, but that's for a different purpose. That is for the idea that if, for instance, you donate you dedicate a part of an animal which is vital to it. If you dedicate the part of a person that's vital to him, you have to pay the entire erech. The same thing with hekdesh. That's the point, but not for sidur. So Marachin don mechvado, Hekdesh don mechvado. So if that's the case, turn things around and say we should make a sidur for Balchov as a kavachom arachin. Marachin shein machzirin misadrin. In the case of arachin, where you don't get the thing back when you paid it, nonetheless, they do a sidur Balchov shemachzirin odin shemisadrin. Certainly, we would do a sidur in order to pay it off. We only say in the context of Arachim, Machum Yerkecha, only if this guy is too poor to pay, but not a Balchov, in case of a Balchov. The other one learns that Mach is a definition. Machu is not an exclusion, but a definition rather of saying he has to have been poor from before he took the Neder until this point, and not that he became poor after he took the Neder. Now we're turning things really around and say maybe in the case of Hekdesh you do return if somebody makes a vow and then has to we take some collateral for him and pay the vow, maybe we return it to him as a kavachom from Malchov. Ma Balchov Shein Masadrin Machzirin Hekdesh Masadrin Adin Shemachzirin. So Amar Krav Shachav Samato Verachek. Why do we return an item to a debtor? So at night, his bed clothes, and during the day, his work clothes or whatever, so that he'll sleep in his clothes and he'll bless you. Yatsa Hekdesh, Ein Tzarich Bracha. Hekdesh doesn't need a bracha. You, the creditor, you need a bracha. V'lo v'aktiv v'chalta v'savat v'rachta. In a famous pasuk about benching, which tells you that you have to bless even for the land, for something that's kodesh. Amakra l'chati yatztaka. Misha tzarich tztaka. Yatsa Hekdesh, Ein Tzarich tztaka. The issue here is not whether or not you're blessing Hekdesh, you're blessing the creditor. Everybody needs a bracha. The idea is that you, as the Balchov, return it because it's considered tzedakah. Hekdesh is not in the business of tzedakah and is not considered a giver of tzedakah, and therefore it's not in the parsha. Okay, Ashkeche Rabba Baravu al Eliyahu. So he met Eliyahu Navi, the Kaim of Etakvot Shalnochim. He was in a Goyish cemetery. Amar Le Maushi said Rubel Balchov. So he asked him the question. We're discussing it. Do we do Sidur for Balchov? Amar Le Gamar Micha Micha Mearachin. He does learn Micha Micha. Gabi Arachin Tiv Machu Mearkecha. Balchov Tiv Vechiamuchachicha. So we, unlike the previous Sugi, says that we do connect Arachin to Balchov. Right? Which means that just like for Arachin makes Sidur, we make Sidur for Balchov and sell off his stuff. Now, he asked him other questions. Minayin la'arum shelo yitrom. How do I know then if somebody who's naked cannot take Truma? Because, by the way, when you take Truma, you also make a bracha. Tichtiv v'lo yirevacha ratavar. In the Parshan Kitetze, it says that you cannot have, the Shechina can't be there when there's a ratavar, so you can't say a bracha when you're naked. Amar le'lav kohen humar. So then he asked Eliyahu, aren't you a kohen? That's according to the particular tradition, and the famous Rashi here that quotes the tradition says Eliyahu was Pinchas, or was another Gilgul of Pinchas. He said, aren't you a Kohen? What are you doing in the cemetery? So Marle lo matni mar taharot. He said, haven't you learned taharot? The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Yachai Omer, kivrein shalochim en metamin. The kvarot of goyim are not metame. God says to Bnei Israel, you're my flock, you are Adam. Atem kriyin Adam, ve'enochin kriyin Adam. Only Bnei Israel are called Adam, for the purpose of Adam, kemut ba'ohel, and tumat ohel. So Marle Barba'alo Matzina, he said back, I don't even know four Siddarim, which are traditionally learned the four Siddarim. Peshita Matzina, I certainly don't know all six. Nobody in the Tarot, famous story at the end of Horayot with Rav Shem Gamliel. So Marle Ve'amai, why don't you know it? Amarle tchikali milta, it's difficult. Davre va'ayla the Gan Eden. So the story concludes as follows. Eliyahu took this rabbi up to Gan Eden. Amarle pshot klimach. He said, take off your coat. Sofi shakel mehani tarfi. Go take from these flowers over here, from these leaves. Sofa shakel. He took some. Kevinafik shaman akamar. As he was walking out, he heard them say, man ka achil almek rabba barvua. Rabba barvua is eating up his world, meaning he's using up his scharn alaba, taking these leaves. They were obviously very valuable. Nafat shadanu. So he put on his garment again, and he took the leaves off. Afilu hachi atya leglime. Nonetheless, he brought his garment down. Sochat glima recha. There's various girsaot and versions about what happened here, but the simple one that we will read is that his garment was filled with such a wonderful smell. Zavne betraser alfei dinari. He sold it for 12,000 dinari. It became very valuable. Palkino the chatvanate, and then he split up the money among his sons-in-law. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. If the man is poor, then you're not allowed to sleep in his avot, right? So what's that? Ha'ashir shachiv. So if he's a rich man, you can't sleep in his avot. So my kamar, what does that mean? Hamar of sheishen achi kamar. V'imish anihu lo tishkav va'avoto etzlacha. It doesn't mean you're going to sleep in his avot. It means you shouldn't go to sleep while his avot, his collateral, is with you. Ha'ashir shachiv avoto etzlacha. But if he's a rich man, you can. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamavet Chaviro Enu Rishay LeMashkenov Enu Chayav LaChzirlo. You're not allowed to take a mashkon, and you're not allowed, and you don't have to return it to him. Vover b'chol shemot halalu, and you violate all of these laws. My kamar, what does that mean? So Moshesh Achikamar, this is what it means. Hamavet Chaviro Enu Rishay LeMashkenov. You're not allowed to take a mashkon. Ve'im Mishkenov, but if you did, Chayav LaChzirlo, you have to return it. Vover b'chol shemot halalu, then you violated all these things, Lotavu Al Beito, etc. Aseifa. So that's the saying. If you did take it, you violated this. That's Rav Sheshet's take. Rav Amar, he says the brayta should be read differently. Hachi Kamar. Hamalo Chavero Ein Rishay LeMashkeno. Mishkeno Chayav Lachzir Lo. If you did take a mashkon, you have to return it to him. Bamedvar Mamuim, Shemishkeno Shelo B'Shat Halbato. That's only if you took the mashkon after the loan. Hamishkeno B'Shat Halbato. If you took the mashkon when you gave him the loan, Eino Chayav Lachzir Lo. Then you don't have to return it. V'Ovev B'Chol Hashemot Halalu Areisha. V'Ovev B'Chol Hashemot Halalu is not on the last comment, but it's on the earlier comment, if you took it during the time of the loan, not at the beginning. So he taught in front of Rava, Adbo Hashemesh Teshivenu Lo, which we read as being until by nightfall after return, Zuksut Laila. By morning after return to him, Zuksut Laila. Hashem Tashiv Lo Tavot Kivo Hashemesh. Return it to him at nightfall, Zuksut Yom. So Mamalei, what would he do with the night clothes at night during the day and vice versa? So Amalei Ismes, he said, should I get rid of the Brayta? Is it a wrong Brayta? Amalei lo, I'll fix it. Hachi kamar. Ad bo ha-shem shivenu lo, zuk sut yom shnina lichvo balayla. Rosh Hashivelo means this is talking about a ksut yom that you could collect at night, but you have to return ba'ad bo hashemesh, meaning by morning. Hashem tashiv lo tavot kevo hashemesh, the opposite, zu ksut laila shenali yachvo bayom. This is talking about night garments that you're allowed to take during the day. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishkeno umet. Let's say you took a mashkon from a debtor, and while you held it, he died. Shomtom mi'agabe banav. You're allowed to take it back, even as you get returned it to him, and now you're allowed to go take it from his kids and keep it. Meitav v'yamar meyer v'chimiyachar shemashkin lam machzirin. So Rabbi Meir said, if we're going to take a mashkon, why return it? What do you mean? The Torah said you have to return it. You take it and give it to him every night. But the question is, if you're going to return it, why do you take it back the next day? The answer is shelote shvit misham matato. So that Shemitah shouldn't cancel this loan, because if you've got malva l'mashkon, shvit en mishametet. That's in Perek Yod of Shvit. And then it doesn't become a taltalin with the kids that you can't collect the loan anymore. So tama dahadur mashkenei. That's only if you then returned it and then took it back. Halo adam mashkenei. What if you took a mashkon and gave it back to him to sleep at night and didn't bother to pick it up the next day? Lo. So amav adam amatna v'lav tuitzik kamatar tzadla. Don't you know how to answer this? Tari tachi. Read it as follows. Flip the words. V'chemiacha shemachzirin lam mashkenei mikara. Since you're going to return it, why take it from the get go? The answer is Shalotei Shvit Mishamatat over the Esamatal to the Netzabanav. So that Shvita doesn't cancel the loan, and that because it doesn't become a Taltalin, you can still collect it. In other words, once you take the Mashkon, it's a Mashkon. You return it, it's yours that you're returning to him for use at night. And even if you leave it there, it's still yours, and therefore the Shvita doesn't cancel the loan. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, lo tavo beito lavot avoto, leveito ita nichnas avalatin nichnas leveito shalarev. You're not allowed to go into the house of the debtor, but you can go into the house of the cosigner. V'cheinu omer, lakach migdol ki arav zar. V'omer, benim, arav to the reyacha, takat al zar kapecha, if you became an arev for somebody, nukashta b'mirficha, you got trapped in your own words, nukashta b'mirficha, asei zot tefo b'nimi natzel, this is what you should do, kadachav reyacha, lechit opes rohav reyacha, get a lot of friends. Imamon yishlacha b'lo yishlo b'yadcha, this is now the drasha, if he owes you money, hater lo pisat yad, then come with the hand, v'im lav, habe alav ra'im, if it's something else, then bring a lot of friends to try to, pisat yad is the drasha on the trapeze. If it's something else, then bring other people to try to Atelo pisad yad means can't pay him. If it's something else, then bring a lot of friends to try to appease him. Letzad sheni, there's another way to darshan this. Leveitoy tanichnas val tanichnas the schar kataf, schar chamar the schar pundag the schar diuk naut. You can't come into his house to collect a loan, but you can come into this house to collect if you did work, if you're a porter or a donkey driver, or you rented a room in the inn to him, or you did some painting for him. Then you can come and collect that. So what happens if he owed you money for rent and you turned it into a milveh, you could come collect it? No. Any sort of debt that you're collecting, you can't come in. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is the next part of the last Mishnah, Yud Gimel, very famous piece. Almana ben shi'aniya ben shi'ashira in mashkininotah. The Torah says you can't take beged almana, a widow. And so the position of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda's position, is whether she's wealthy or poor, you can't take it. Shtemar v'lo tachvol beged almana. Now the Gemara says Tan Rabbanan, almana ben shi'aniya ben shi'ashira in mashkininotah divrei Rabbi Yehuda. I told you it was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon omer ashira mashkininotah aniya in mashkininotah. If she's rich, you can take the mashkon. Here's the issue. If she's poor, you have to return the garment every night, and then she's going to get a bad reputation. Here she's a widow, and you're going to her house every night. Now, this sounds like the position is that Rabbi Yehuda is not Doresh Tam Hakra, meaning he looks at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says you can't take a mashkon from an almana. That's it. The fact that I might think that the reason is, or I even know the reason is, because she's a poor woman, you can return it and give her a bad name, doesn't affect the halacha one bit. And Rabbi Shimon says, yes, I do. And therefore, since the reason is because you have to return it, etc., if she's wealthy, we don't have to return it, it doesn't apply. We have the opposite position, Netanya, Veloya Belonashim, in the context of Parshat HaMelech, says that a king can't have too many wives. He's allowed to have a lot of wives. The Torah says, shouldn't have a lot of wives, will turn his heart away. Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, you can have as many wives as long as they don't turn your heart away. Even if you only have one wife, but she turns your heart away from God, you can't have to, can't marry her. So what's the pasuk talking about? Even if you have wonderful women like Abigail, who will keep you loyal to God, remind you of your duty to God, look at the end of the second half of Shmuel Aleph Chafei, nonetheless, you can't. So you see that Rabbi Shimon says, Ani lo doresh tam hamikra. The Torah says, you can't marry a lot of wives so that they don't turn your heart away. He says, you still can't marry a lot of wives even if they don't turn your heart away. And if they turn your heart away, even one you can't marry. So the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda lo doresh tam hamikra. Rabbi Yehuda normally isn't doresh tam hamikra. It's like in our case with the Almana. Shani hachan farish kra. But here the Torah goes out of its way to tell you, Lebel anashim v'lo yasur. So my Tamalai Bel Anashim, what's the reason for not having all those wives? Mishum Lelei Asur. So the Torah here gives you on a silver platter. It says, it's only when this reason applies. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Mishimon Mechte Be'al Madashim in time in a crowd. Mishimon says, since normally I am Dorish Tam Hamikra. The Torah should just say, don't have a lot of wives. And I know the reason is because they'll turn you away. And I can go with that. V'ana Yadana my Tamalai Abel Mishum Lelei Asur. So Lelei Asur Achad V'achon Alam Amalei. So why did the Torah go out of its way and add what I already knew? So I feel achar misir al divar raise only sign to tell you even one wife who turns your heart away you can't marry. So that means that lo yabelu is even if none of them turn your heart away you still can't marry them. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick it up in the next podcast with the last piece of Mishnah Yud Gimel and the last piece of our parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.